6:43. It's the Steakhouse Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, live in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joining us live here, Scott Pioli from the NFL Network. How many years now doing the TV gig?
This is going into my third. And yeah, it sounded funny coming out of your mouth from the NFL Network. I was like, yeah, I guess that's
what
I
you
work.
Are. And you got to, and you're looking good, by the way, bro.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I look great on radio.
Yeah,
all the time,
you have a,
man.
You have a face made for radio. That's what they tell us. We're almost the same era. So you've done how many camps and how many days?
So this is 10 days on the road.
You're a little closer. Yeah.
Sorry about this.
No
problem,
this is now 10 days on the road. So I've been Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Patriots, Browns here. But in between, I also went to the University of Alabama for a practice. And
oh, wow.
I was up in Athens yesterday, which was, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. So
I'm telling you what, it was exciting. It was because, you know, you got a team that's defending a national championship. Not that they are going to talk in those terms, right? But yeah, having been blessed to be a part of the last team that did back-to-back Super Bowls, you kind of have this eye for things that you look for in the team. And I'll tell you what, Kirby was going hard.
Yeah, Kirby. Dude,
now, I'll say this. The kids were going hard, though, too. So
Kirby, you know, doesn't play.
No.
Kirby is and he's had a great mindset of, I don't know why we'd be complacent. All these other guys playing now on the defensive side, they haven't had a chance to play yet.
Yeah.
Where's the complacency? He says one thing, if you're coming off a championship and you get the same guys thinking about the NFL or even in the NFL, he's like, these guys haven't established anything.
No.
And they're trying to get to the where when you have, you know, 5-6 number ones, those kids are all saying, how do I get to be them?
Well, you know, aside from being a really good-looking football team, those kids were working.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get it. Well, yeah, because Kirby's pushing. Well, there's a lot of times I've been in places where coaches are pushing and kids ain't responding.
Maybe they
were
see
responding,
that.
And they were doing – it was one of the best practices. Again, NFL camps and college, one of the best camps I've seen.
I'm curious, is it an NFL Network thing that you guys went to those two, or that was a you personal thing?
That was a me personal
That's
thing.
Really cool.
Yeah.
We heard there was like 19 NFL scouts in Athens yesterday.
Yes, there were. And the day before I was in that school out west in Tuscaloosa – and there were about it was
the
pretty
same.
Much the same group of guys. They were traveling like a pack.
Could you notice anything tangible about the difference of an Alabama practice and a Georgia practice?
I won't make that comparison.
Okay.
I love and respect. Well, I do work for both schools, so it's kind of.
So yeah. let me ask this question. And Scott Pioli, if those of you aren't familiar, of course, helped build those Patriots teams for many, many years alongside Bill Belichick as head of player personnel or GM or whatever titles.
Titles, but they, yes.
Yeah. So many titles.
Then ran the Chiefs for years and, of course, was here with Arthur and Thomas helping to run the Falcons for years. When you are trying to assess a player mm-hmm. and you make the call to their college coach,
yeah.
which you did for years in New England, obviously, and other places, how much honesty do you know you're getting back? And are there certain guys? Listen, the more ones and twos and third-round picks that they are able to produce, the easier for them to recruit. So how often can you take their head coach or those assistants at their word, and how much do you have to realize, look, he's trying to pump up his kid?
It's all based on relationships. That's why the relationships in this business are important. Because, you know, there's some coaches like, hey, Kirby's going to tell you like it is. Nick's going to tell you like it is. You know, Harbaugh's going to tell you like it is. There's a group of guys that, because of my relationships with them, and I think because of who they are, they're going to tell you how it is. Here's the beautiful part with those guys, though. They tell the kids, I'm going to tell them like it is. And if you don't like it, there's a transfer portal. And, mm-hmm. and that's a really healthy thing, that the coaches are going to be truth tellers. Now, sometimes when you get with assistant coaches, it gets a little interesting because assistant coaches are always thinking about ascending. And their way of ascending is cultivating relationships, and they want people to like them.
Right.
And they have to go back into high schools and recruit. So if they maybe say something negative about a kid, they won't lie to you, but they may withhold information because they'll have to deal with the circumstances. If it ever gets out what they said, even though it was the truth, they have to deal with it elsewhere. And then sometimes you have guys who, you know, coaches, they're human, right? And I'm human. There's times I've been invested in people emotionally where, you know, you hold back from telling the truth because you care about someone
right.
so much. So it doesn't make them bad people sometimes when they don't tell the truth. Sometimes it's just,
well, you just want good things to happen, and maybe you're just so.
Yeah, but it's a really important thing, and it's a case-by-case.
Scott Pioli with us from the NFL Network, traveling around and checking out a lot of camps, and the Falcons camp as well, where you spent a lot of time, raised your daughter here, who's now doing fabulous at Boston College.
Love it, grad.
Undergrad. Yeah.
No, she was a Lovett grad. A Lovett grad.
Lovett. Lovett.
We loved our time here.
What a great school that is, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. You know, we lived in Midtown down in Ansley Park, and I'd commute up here to Flowery Branch every day. We absolutely loved it here.
So 5 years in Atlanta?
Seven. Well, 5 years with the Falcons, and then those next 2 years we stayed here so she could graduate high school.
So what do you take away from your experience? There's a lot going on those years in Atlanta.
Yeah.
What?
How good and bad.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was going to say, you were there for great playoff wins, and you were there for the Super Bowl loss.
Yeah, I was there for the rebuild, and the Ascension was here for 1 year with Smitty, and then the Ascension under DQ, and then the Super Bowl loss, and then, you know, the digression, so to speak.
Yeah, when things
What do I take about for, you know, I've got to say this because I've never had a chance to say this publicly. People heard me talk about football every once in a while, but one of the things was my relationship with Arthur Blank. And, again, because I've worked in the NFL and was fortunate, 18 of my 27 years I was either GM or vice president of player. I always had access and was around owners and spent a lot of time in owners' meetings and have worked with some really good people. Robert Kraft, incredible. You know, Clark Hunt, unbelievable. And Arthur, I was really blessed. And one thing about Arthur that I actually always loved and respected was you see a lot of people that are doing the good work now. In terms of equity, equality, race, gender, the gay and lesbian community. And Arthur's authenticity, there's a lot of people that do it for optics because it's good for the business model. It's good for the business plan. It's good for branding. Arthur's genuine investment and being able to be behind the scenes and see that and how much he really cared about those things, it wasn't just a branding thing. That was one of my favorite parts of being here, this organization.
Him wanting to do the right thing because it's the right thing.
Because that's what his heart is. That's where his heart is. And he's a very, you know, I mean, all of us that end up in leadership roles can be complicated, right? And we have to make difficult decisions and do difficult things sometimes. But I believe you have to look at people's intent. And Arthur's intent was always in the right spot.
Scott Pioli finishing up with him on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. How much do you miss the game day feeling, the draft, the war room feeling? How much of an adjustment has it been?
I miss it. I miss it. There's no doubt. You know, people say, what do you miss the most? And there's two things I miss. The scoreboard on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the relationships.
Yeah, the building.
Yeah, because it's you're in here for so many hours, and you cultivate relationships with people, and it becomes a large part of your life, which is very healthy in a lot of ways. It's also exceedingly dysfunctional for your family.
Well, and the hours are just, especially when you were in New England, especially, right? For your daughter was small then, right?
Yeah, and before that, you know.
Cleveland.
There's a reason I wasn't married until I was 34. I dated football my whole life.
Yeah. And folks may not be aware, your daddy-in-law is Bill Parcells.
Yeah, yeah.
How is he as a granddaddy to your
He's a good granddad. He's a good granddad. He's a good father-in-law.
Is he a curmudgeon sometimes? Does he have to set you straight ever?
Do I really have to answer that? Like, is that a real question? I mean, really?
What do I think he's going to say? No, Stig, he's a big teddy bear. He's just, he's the most lovely, warm. So give me three or four draft picks in your career. I don't care if they're fifth rounders, first rounders, that you are most proud of. For whatever reasons they may be, maybe you went to bat for these guys or you looked at them for a long time, but are there guys that jump out of you? And
I'll talk about my New England time first, and one, I'll mention Richard Seymour, you know, Georgia Bulldog, who I actually flew back with, sat next to Richard.
How fun.
You know, his wife was seated next to me coming back from the Hall of Fame, and we flew in here, and Richard threw his wife out of the seat. We sat with one another.
That's
Richard,
awesome.
Because for so many reasons that are exceedingly personal and private. I'd say another one is Matthew Slater, who was going to his 15th season with the New England Patriots, and Matthew was my last draft in New England. And a lot of people don't know this about Matthew, but he is he's been to 10 Pro Bowls, 5 All-Pros, which are both more than his dad, Jackie Slater, had, who's got a gold jacket. And Matthew's been a 10-time team captain. And
as a special teams player.
As a special teams player. And made about $30 million. You know how many career NFL catches he has? One.
That's crazy.
But I can see here all day.
Great.
His last year at UCLA, he had 25 special teams tackles. And this is what I try to tell kids. He was the Pac-10 special teams player of the year. 15 years later, he's still in the NFL. Those are favorites. And, you know, I'll say One of my favorites that I was associated with here in my time in Atlanta has to be Grady Jarrett. Because of where we picked him, because of who he is, because of his mom.
You remember watching the film on him and talking about him and all that?
Not only watching the film, we went up there to work out Vic Beasley to Clemson.
DQ, we've Thomas, heard of him. Myself. We remember him.
We went up there, and that was the primary goal. And we wanted to work him out. Some people in our organization were concerned that, you know, in DQ's defense, he likes long defensive linemen. His arms are too short. He's too short. Can he be long enough? He had this killer workout, and he's a total package. I mean, you talk about a community guy who's authentic.
Checks
genuine.
Every box.
He's awesome.
Oh, my
gosh.
Checks every box.
And I guess, you know, I'll go back to New England. I think my last favorite's probably that guy we got in the sixth round in 2000. Brady.
Do you remember looking at him on film and all that?
Oh, yeah. That film, and actually I saw him play at Syracuse when he was at Michigan.
Yeah.
And
he used to play football at Syracuse. They used to be a big deal to carry them.
That was a big
back
deal
in the day.
Back then.
Tom McPherson and Donovan McNabb, and I used to follow those guys. Hey, great to see you. You're doing a great job on the network.
Man.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're
so good. It's a pleasure listening. We could listen all day. Thank you.
I got to go so I don't get fired.
Right. Yeah. Scott Pioli joining us live here at Falcons. Mike Vick coming up in 45 minutes. This is The Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.